Chapter 2, Omnipresence and Omniscience of God. We have tried to show a little of what the Scriptures declare of the eternal God, He with whom we have to do. But in all our attempts to find out God, we have to say with Job, "Lo, these are parts of His ways, but how little a portion is heard of Him." Chapter 26, verse 14. How little is it that we can comprehend of that great being who is in Himself incomprehensible? Being infinite and incapable of extension or diminution, He is everywhere present, and this is called His omnipresence. How wonderful an account of it the psalmist gives, and so far is it above his comprehension that he comes to this conclusion: "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." He could not find a place where God would not be present. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Psalm 139, verses 6 through 10. Hence, He is not only a God at hand, but also a God afar off, and asks the solemn question, "Can any hide himself in secret places, that I shall not see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth?" Jeremiah 13, verses 23 and 24. So infinite is his being and presence that Solomon could hardly think he would dwell on the earth or in the temple which he had built. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? "Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded." 1 Kings 8, verse 27. And indeed, in one sense this is true, as the Apostle tells the Athenians, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things." Acts 17, verse 24 and 25. But this is said in contrast to the idols of the heathen, which have a bodily substance and can be located in a certain place, whereas the eternal God is an infinite spirit and not confined to any one place. This brings us to notice another presence of God, which is often spoken of in the Scriptures, and that is His gracious presence, which He grants to His people, whereby they are made conscious of His being with them by His benign influence felt in their own souls. He manifests His mercy to them, sheds abroad His love in their hearts, and sometimes speaks a word in their souls, so that they can say, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills." Song of Solomon 2, verse 8. This gracious presence is promised to all the true assemblies of Zion, even with only two or three who meet in his name. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Matthew 18, verse 20. This was the presence that Solomon sought, and God was pleased to give to those who assembled for his worship in the temple. The visible sign of it to them was the cloud which filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 14. This gracious presence of the Lord is also promised to individuals who fear his name and who are made humble and contrite under his teaching and the influence of his grace in their souls. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Isaiah 57, verse 15, and 66, verses 1 and 2. But the universal presence of God, or his omnipresence, which we are considering, is different from this gracious presence and exists apart from any manifestation of his grace and mercy. It is essential to his being, inasmuch as he is a spirit and fills all things, nor is there any place where he cannot be said to be. It is a characteristic of the creatures and of any bodily or material substance that it cannot be in two places at the same time. This is an axiom or an obvious truth to us, but the eternal being of God is everywhere present. He fills immensity and cannot be circumscribed or confined to any one place. There follows from this the further great truth that the eternal God knows and sees everything, and this is called his omniscience. We can only see as far as our sight will extend at any particular moment, and we know only what we have seen or heard about. But there is nothing at any time hid from the searching gaze of the Lord, or that is unknown by him. So, when Adam and Eve had sinned at the beginning, in eating the forbidden fruit, they thought to hide themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But they could not be hid from his all-seeing eye. Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9. We may refer again to the psalmist also on this point, for he says, Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Psalm 139, verses 2 through 4, 11 and 12. And what a solemn word is that of the apostle! Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, verse 13. This presence and knowledge of God was also made manifest to Hagar when she fled from her mistress Sarah, so that she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Genesis 16, verse 13. She thought no one knew or cared for her in her distress, as Sarah dealt hardly with her. But the Lord saw and told her to return to her mistress and submit herself to that servitude, giving her a promise concerning the child that should be born. There is nothing that can escape his all-seeing eyes. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15, verse 3. Yea, his eyes run to and fro through the whole earth. Zechariah 4, verse 10. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, verse 13. He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, every secret motive and hidden desire. Man looks on the outside and can only judge the heart by the outward appearance. But the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Hence, the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. 1 Samuel 2, verse 3. He searches the heart and tries the reins or motives to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. He only knows the hearts of the children of men. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 30. There is another knowledge of God, which also is peculiar to himself, and that is his foreknowledge or prescience. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15, verse 18. Because of this, he is able to declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 46, verse 10. All our times are in his hands, and nothing can take place except in accordance with his eternal counsel and purposes. It is this foreknowledge and foretelling of future events which proclaim him to be the only true God, and the fulfilling of these things in the appointed time certifies the prophecies which were made to be the word of the living God. Let us learn by these truths that there is no place where we can hide ourselves so as not to be seen by the great God. There can be no thoughts in our minds, no desires or affections in our hearts, no inward motives or intents with which he is not acquainted. Hence it is that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he in the sight of the Lord. Proverbs 23, verse 7. He is acquainted with all our ways, and knows and sees every sinful thought or desire, every unlawful motive that we may be the subjects of. This, as brought home to our souls by the convincing light of the Holy Spirit, will make us sensible of our inward pollution and wickedness, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And to the question, who can know it? The answer is given, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. No outward veneer of a consistent life and moral character amongst men will do for us then to make us right in the sight of God. Although we should seek to walk uprightly in the world in all things, yet we shall be conscious that the heart is depraved and the leprosy lies deep within. This sense of inward ruin will make us want a great salvation, and as we may be led of the Spirit, we shall find a concern to confess our sins before the Lord and to seek to be cleansed from them by the precious blood of Christ. This is the fountain opened for all sin and uncleanness, which can wipe out the deepest stain. We may then view the truths we have been considering in a different aspect. While we may feel unable to express the feelings of our souls in words before the Lord, it will encourage us to realize that our secret desires after Him are all known to Him. Every inward sigh or groan, yea, all those groanings of the Spirit which cannot be uttered, are known to Him who searches the hearts, Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Hannah spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard, 1 Samuel 1, verse 13. Yet you know what an answer she obtained of the Lord. Let every seeking sinner still cry and groan and sigh for this salvation, for it is true that He marketh every tear and counteth every sigh, in all their sorrows bears a part, beholds their grief, and feels their smart. When the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage and cried, their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning. Exodus 2, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6, verse 6.